Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Well, hey, everybody. This is Jim Asker from Billboard. And I am very excited today to have the one and only Lauren Daigle with me on the podcast. Hi,
hello.
Lauren.
Hey.
Full disclosure, I'm a big fan. I was just telling everybody while we were setting up that, you know, your first album came out in 2015. And I'm sure it was a whirlwind for you. But, you know, in doing the charts at Billboard, kept watching these songs go to number one. And then after a while, I kept saying, well, we're due. And I just asked somebody, Steve Ford or somebody at your label, at Centricity, and I said, what is going on with Lauren?
Is she ever coming back?
And he said, I don't know. And then just a few weeks ago, somebody said, oh, the album's just about done. So you've been really quiet about this, haven't you?
Yeah.
When did you start working on the new record? And tell us the name of the new album.
The new album is called Look Up Child, and I started working on it in the studio around the end of mid to end of January.
Wow.
So yeah, I've kept it a secret for about half a year, but really it's been a year in the making, just from different writes and meetings and things like that. It was all getting set up for about a year now.
I've got to tell you. So, I grew up on rock and roll, right?
Oh, all right. Come on now.
And
classic rock?
I was a big Springsteen fan.
Yeah.
I've been to over 100 shows. And
wow.
You know, we didn't know that he was almost dropped by the record label CBS before Born to Run came out.
Wow.
But before Born to Run came out, it was like fever pitch in our neighborhood because I grew up in upstate New York, factory town, and Bruce was our hero. We had already seen him a bunch of times, and this record took 2 years to make.
Wow.
So before it came out, it was like fever pitch. And then it came out, and the album opens with Thunder Road, and I kept listening to it over and over again. It was like, I can't get to the second song. And your album opens with this Still Rolling Stones. And I have to tell you, I listened to it like 10 times in a row before I got to the second song.
What? Really?
Because I'm a former radio guy. So when I hear a great song with, it's like the perfect single to me.
Wow. Okay. That's a major compliment.
You tell me about that song? Oh. And then I want to move on to the single. But that first song just, it's like a great, will it be a single? I hope too.
We're both in the hope world together. We wrote this song in this little room and it was
a
stairwell.
We're in Franklin, Tennessee, we should say.
Yep, in Franklin, Tennessee, right here. And my producer has a Rhodes that sits in this room. And
what's the name of your producer?
Paul Mabry.
Who did the last album
The last record as well, yep. And it's funny because I feel like if you were to take an instrument and like make it the inside of me, if you take the inside of me and flip it inside out and put an instrument to it, it would be horns or a Rhodes. I just love the sound of a Rhodes. It's an instant vibe. And so we're sitting in here in this stairwell and he has this Rhodes in here and it's an echo room. Like it's made for an echo chamber. And we were writing with another friend, his name's Paul Duncan, and he wrote Light of the World with us, and he wrote Once and For All.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time that Paul Mabry and I ever met, Paul Duncan, we Skyped him in, and we all three wrote together, and it was Once and For All. And it was kind of beautiful that the first song on the record, on this current record, Look Up Child, was also Paul and myself.
Oh, that's so great.
It's kind of nod back to
But you're
how
singing
it all
that
built.
Song like you may never sing another song.
Yeah.
So when you're singing Rise Up, I'm like, this is a call to arms.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was, honestly, it came from this moment in here. It was kind of, we could feel the weight of the room shift. That's kind of what happens whenever we three get together. And I remember hearing that melody, all at once I came alive. And
keep
thinking,
going if you'd like.
This beating heart, these open eyes, the grave let go, the darkness should have known you're still rolling stones. And I remember hearing that and thinking, that's like a Police melody.
Mm-hmm.
Like how, like Sting kind of does those crazy
every little
intervals.
Thing she does is magic.
Yeah.
That production sound a little bit, yeah.
What was that?
That production sound of coming up and then, you know, dropping back down like that arc.
Yes, yes.
Did you plan
totally.
On that?
It wasn't necessarily a plan as much as it just came out in the moment. And it was actually low. I, majority of the time, sing in a male's key. And so the guys were singing it in a key that was natural for them. And I thought, okay, I hear what they're saying, but I started singing it like that. And around day two with this song, I said, guys, wait, let me just sing it like me for a second,
mm-hmm.
which obviously we all get a kick out of because, duh, like obviously I should be singing it. But because it's natural for me to sing in a guy's key, I wasn't even thinking about it. And I said, I'm hearing it. The reason why I'm so enthralled by this melody and so excited about this melody is because I hear it like this. And I sang it.
When you say a guy's scale, just asking a dumb question, does that mean a little deeper or what is?
Yeah, it's just a lower key. I can't remember which key it was, but it was a lower key. And I'm very comfortable in that range. Like in a tenor male range is very comfortable for me. So I actually like leaning into that.
Mm-hmm. Your voice is incredible. How often do people compare you to Adele?
That happens quite often.
It does often, right?
Yeah.
Because, and I'm sure it's not on purpose, but I wasn't supposed to let anybody hear that. Paul, your publicist, gave me the link and he said, don't let anybody listen. But I told my bosses the other day, I said, you got to hear this song.
Oh,
so
wow.
I sent them the link and they were like, this sounds like a great Adele single.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
It has that feel. And the production is great. And then when you sang that one line about a revival, put it on vinyl. I mean, that went right to my heart.
Oh,
God. Being an old vinyl guy.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm an old soul.
Is that your line?
That was my Paul Mabry. That he was like, because we love vinyl. You know, we have a vinyl player sitting next to us at all times. And we're just constantly listening to records. And I think it's kind of just a nostalgic element of what we love.
And for keeps, kind of like
mm-hmm.
a revival, put it on vinyl.
Yep, like. Yep. It's timeless. Vinyl goes back and is still present right now. You know, it has history and it also is in the here and now.
Will the new album get some vinyl pressings?
Yes, it will.
Oh, awesome.
I'm so excited. I cannot wait.
Can we say that? I mean, it said it on the release yesterday. I told Paul yesterday, your publicist, that I was like, hey, the download just came out for the single and it has the date of the album on it.
Oh, wow.
September 7th.
Yeah.
So we could say it, right?
Yeah.
It's public now. And is it 14 tracks?
I think it's 13.
Plus the acoustic version of the single, right?
Yes, there will be.
Will that stay on the
elements.
Album?
I don't know if that's going to be on the full LP or if that's going to be
maybe a bonus,
kind of a bonus piece.
Mm-hmm. The single is "You Say." That's the first song that everybody's hearing. So tell us about that and why was that picked as the first single?
That was picked as the first single because I actually wrote that song over 2 years ago when we thought we were going to make the record. Natural artist to push back the record 4 times. And
well, that's good though. You had people wondering.
Yeah, exactly. You talked in the beginning about like that space and
it's
time.
It's great to have that anticipation.
Yep.
And the sophomore record probably is, to an artist, is so important, right?
Totally. Well, I feel like especially the sophomore record can be a make or break record.
And by the way, following up an album, how can it be that has been on the charts now for 187 weeks.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that.
Including 11 weeks at number one.
Wow.
It debuted at number one, the full album, after the EP in May 2015. And then your Christmas record, Behold, also debuted at number one, December 2016. Three number ones off the first album. First, Trust in You, Oh Lord, plus eight top tens. And so that's what you're following up with a second record.
Oh,
so.
My gosh. Yeah, all right, so no go pressure.
On. Let's talk about this.
Oh, no pressure. Oh, my gosh. I think that's kind of why I waited so long. I was like, I need some. And the how can it be the record went platinum while we're making this record.
I looked this morning at Nielsen, and it's at 1.2 consumption now.
Oh, my gosh.
And 748,000 sold in actual sales. You know, that's unheard of, right?
Oh, my gosh. That kind of gives me the butterflies and makes me want to cry.
No pressure on this next one.
Yeah, no pressure on the next one. But I think there was something to the pressure, and this actually leads into the story behind the song.
Right. You say we're talking about the single.
The pressure of a second record, I feel like it can be make or break for some artists. And I knew I needed space to refine my identity and understand, okay, this is a new world I'm living in. This is completely contrary to the environment I was raised in. I mean, I'm a swamp girl through and through. I went deep sea fishing this weekend.
Right. And
in
I want to ask you more
and
about Louisiana and that background in a little while.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've been on a whirlwind, obviously, mm-hmm. since 2015. So much stuff going on with the songs and your appearances. I saw you at the ACM Awards with Reba McEntire. Yep. I was there in Las Vegas last year for that.
Yeah.
You looked like you were having a great time.
It was an amazing day. We actually had two shows that morning in Missouri. And then I flew from Missouri at like 11 a.m. and made that rehearsal for the ACMs with Reba by the skin of my teeth.
The Academy of Country Music Awards. What was that like?
Yep.
I was going to ask about this later, but we're talking about it now. So I wanted to, you seemed like you were having the time of your life down there
amazing, watching
it. You were in the front row, I think, or the second row, something like that, right in front of the stage. How does it come to sing with a legend like Reba McEntire, Back to God?
Oh, wow. She is such a kind human. She was making that record, and I think someone mentioned her name to me and mentioned my name to her. And she kind of had this moment, I guess, and was like, I would be interested in her being on the record. And so we ended up meeting over the phone. She was filming something in Atlanta, and it was as if we had known each other. It was kind of that she's really just a down-to-earth, easy to talk to. And so I think that's what made that night so special, was it was sitting next to a legend, but sitting next to a person as well. And
so you sat next to her the whole show?
Yeah, the whole show.
Did you meet a lot of country artists that night?
I met some. I actually met Florida Georgia Line.
I just did a podcast with them.
Yeah.
They're really nice guys,
right? Yeah.
Tyler and Brian.
And I met a lot of label people and stuff like that. It was a lot of fun. I think being in Las Vegas, that's always a fun thing too. But watching the performances, I can't get enough of watching performances. Like, it doesn't matter what genre.
And
it's just always enthralling.
That's a great show. They pack a lot of music into it.
Yeah.
I think, not because I'm biased naturally, because I'm involved in country too, but I think our award shows, the CMAs and the ACMs, are both tremendous shows. They start on time, they end on time.
Yeah.
They pack more music into it than any other show.
Yeah.
Would you do another collaboration with another
artist?
Say Florida Georgia Line asked you.
Maybe. We'd see. I guess it all depends on what it
is. You're going to have a lot going on now.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot to me.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you put this record out in September, well, now it starts now with the single. Mm-hmm. I was asking before, asking your people, your relationship with Christian radio programmers.
Oh.
And what the, have you talked to them yet about this song, or have they heard it?
Not quite yet. Where I think some of them have heard it, but I haven't really given them the behind the scenes. The behind the scenes is that there was an award show while we're actually on that. Pressure, the award shows, all the things. I was sitting there thinking, man, this is amazing. But it was only my second award show that I'd ever been to.
Oh, really?
And I was not the ACMs, this particular award show I was at. And I remember it was a big night, lots of things happened.
The Dove Awards?
It was the Dove Awards.
Okay.
And I remember feeling like, okay, this is supposed to be the biggest high, the biggest amazing moment in time, and this is the biggest thing that's happened in my career to date, like when it comes to an award kind of thing. And I left that feeling so great, but they never kind of tell you that the next day can be a little crash. And because you're on this huge high and then you come back to normal, but normal feels really low.
Back to Normalville,
you know? And I'm okay with Normalville. I like it personally. But I think it was the first moment for me to realize my life was changing, whether or not I liked it.
You know, I talked to you for the first time at the end of 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you on the phone that you were the female artist, Billboard's top female Christian artist of 2015. Mm-hmm. And you said, I'll never forget, you said, hang on, I've got to pull over. Because you were driving.
Yes, I remember feeling what is going on? Everything was such a fast trajectory. Like, I felt like from the beginning of the album launching to now, I mean, it was like 0 to 100, and I had to figure out how to catch my breath in
the
process.
You've done a lot of TV and working each one of those songs.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like the fact that it went on so long and that you're about to embark on another maybe 2-year journey or whatever?
Yes, absolutely. I'm so grateful. I have nothing but gratitude. I feel like they say in the brain that fear and gratitude cannot exist at the same time. So when you do like an MRI and fear is highlighted in the brain, gratitude is completely dormant. When gratitude is highlighted in the brain, fear is completely dormant.
I'll remember this. I'm a cancer survivor, so I've been through my, cycle of MRI.
Wow. Wow.
So you think about what I should think about gratitude.
Yep. Isn't that amazing? Gratitude. And I think the older I get, the more I understand the depth of gratitude. And when I look at the journey, there were some definite dark, hard times just learning how to get accustomed to a new normal. But
were there some times you're from Louisiana? Are you from a small town in Louisiana?
I'm from Lafayette.
Oh, Lafayette.
Yeah. So Lafayette's about 200,000 or 300,000 people.
So were there times when it was kind of frightening being out there, or did you just embrace it right out of the chute? And
I embraced it right out of the chute. I'm an adrenaline junkie. I love adventure. I love spontaneity. I love whim. So it was kind of in my fabric to gravitate towards something that is completely unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
But in that, once it got to a place where I felt like I no longer had my finger on the pulse,
mm-hmm.
When things were just moving at lightning speed and I had no opportunity to embrace it, it was just treadmill. Yes, fully. I was kind of, in that moment, I think I was going into a little bit of shock.
And like, then there's always the danger of, I know it's the Christian world, but we're all susceptible to people being around you that want to take and sap.
Yeah.
Right. And
feeling like you're losing yourself in the process doesn't feel good.
Yeah. And it seems like you surround yourself with a good team, though, now.
Yes.
I don't mean to say now, like you didn't before, but you seem like you have a really good team around you.
Yes. I have the team around me that will tell me no and tell me, no, you're not as great as you think you are. So chill out. And that's what I love. I travel with my friends a lot, like my Louisiana friends. They come out and meet me at shows because they're the people that knew me before anything ever happened. I travel with the friends that I have here in Nashville that knew me before anything ever happened.
Oh, that's nice.
So that I'm constantly looking at accountability, it's not even about pride and ego. That's actually not as big of a deal as some people might think.
And they're all really happy for you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not about that you feel like you lose yourself. It's about the rush of everything, the pace of everything. It really wipes your feet out from underneath you at times. And so it's having those people around you to look at you and say, no, you're still this girl from Louisiana. Don't forget.
What is it like doing, I saw you on the Today Show. I think it was the Today Show. When you're around people that might not be familiar with the Christian music world, is it a little different sometimes? Do they treat it differently?
When I think for the Today Show, I remember there's always people on there that you didn't know you were going to meet. It's these kind of moments I feel like that are set up that are just really special. And do they do it different than Christian music? Yeah, in some ways, because they're not.
But great music's great music.
Outlet.
Once they hear you sing,
yeah,
and that voice—I don't know what that is—from raspy to light to power, you know,
wow.
Has to come from your New Orleans Creole kind of background, right?
Yes, absolutely. I was just talking to someone about.
I'm sorry, we're hopscotching around. I kind of do that. Jump around.
I was like, wait, do I need to finish telling about the single? I don't know.
Oh, we'll get back to the single. Wait a second.
I'm like, wait.
But this voice you have.
This is good.
I mean, like when I was saying, when you were saying, singing Rise Up, I'm like, she's singing it like it might be her last song. I mean, that's power.
Wow.
Like you're calling people to just, you know, rise up.
Yeah.
And then you fall back to more wispy kind of, I'm not a musician, so, I'm a former radio guy, so I tell it in my terms, but the versatility in your voice is incredible.
Oh, wow.
And where do you think it comes from?
I think it comes from a couple of things. One, Celine Dion and Whitney Houston, powerhouse vocals. I loved them as a child. I would walk around my house singing at the top of my lungs, and my brother would tell my mom, please make her stop. Please make her stop. Because at 5 years old.
At five,
they would make me feel things that I didn't know I could feel. Like, wow, this is making me want to explode from the inside. And my natural response, my natural expression of those emotions, it was singing. Mm. And I feel like, I didn't know at the time if I was singing or screaming, and that happened the older I got. You know, I remember I was 16 and my mom had told someone at my church, hey, she sings all the time. I don't know if y'all need anyone in your choir, but she's singing around our house all the time. So the music director came to me and said, hey, I want you to sing this song really quick. And I remember singing it in my head voice, kind of light, airy. And he said, girl, I've heard you laugh before. I know how you sing. Mm-hmm. You better sing. And I was like, okay, I just don't know if this is singing or screaming. I don't know the difference. Like, I don't know the technicality of it. I don't know how all this works. I just do it because I love it. And so I started singing.
Because you're so humble.
Oh, well.
You are.
Oh, thank you.
I could tell. And you know, I teach a little bit. I teach speech at a couple of colleges,
oh, wow.
You know, and sometimes I'll have kids that are so smart and they dial it back because they don't want to show anybody up because they're so awesome. They're humble. And I feel like that's, you're like that, you know, it just feels like that a little bit. So, and I would say to them, like, just be smart. It's not your problem. It's their problem if they have a problem with it.
Yeah.
But your voice is just so versatile. And I wanted to know, like, where that came from. And now, since you've been singing since you were five.
Yeah. It's crazy because I would sing around my house. My mom said I would sing before I could talk. So even as an infant, she said I would connect notes and coo and all these things. And the older I got, the more I could recognize, like, this was something deep. It was something entrenched in my veins. Something I was crafted.
Did you go to school for music?
No, it's kind of crazy. I didn't start singing until I was much older. When I was at LSU, I was a child and family studies major, but I took
the Tigers, right?
Yeah, go Tigers. G-E-A-U-X. Hello. But I ended up, like, I did, vocal performance, and I was in the choir at LSU, the women's choir, but I didn't necessarily go to LSU for music. I just took those as electives.
Right.
And that was all opera, so it was very different than this.
You did some opera?
Did some opera. It was fun. I actually, I fell in love with it afterwards. In the moment, I was kind of like heels in the ground about it. And my teacher would get so upset with me because I would go and sing these pop shows on the weekend.
So versatile right out of the gate. So since you mentioned opera, this is a good place to ask this. You know, Paul McCartney with the Beatles sang, he was an opera singer. He could sing opera. He could play every instrument. And what I always loved about his singing is he didn't always swing for the fences. He knew when to and
have restraint.
I hear some singers that are always swinging for the fences. And you know that it's the song, right? And how to treat the song?
Yes. Oh, yes. I tell people all the time, those moments, people want the big powerhouse ballad, loud sound. But the moments that make that so potent is those delicate, simple, subtle, easy listening songs. It's all about having the balance of both. And I was listening to a podcast, this interview, where someone talked about the power of restraint. And you know the quality of an artist whenever they utilize restraint. Same with musicians when you get in a studio or when you get in a live setting. You don't want a drummer who's like busting out every chop, every lick that he has.
No, you want Ringo Starr who knows how to
refrain.
Being simple.
Yes, because if you can make simple beautiful, if you can make simple profound, then that's where talent comes
in. I've always
felt
the best music is simplicity.
Yep.
I saw you at Bridgestone Arena, I think 2 years ago when you were with Hillsong. I've done a podcast with them too. I love them.
Gosh, those guys. I love
one thing
so
I
much.
Loved, and I brought a friend who was not familiar with Christian music, and she loved your show. And one thing I really liked about it is you just walked out. There was no grand intro, or you just walked up to the microphone and started singing.
Oh, I love that.
And is that by design or?
I think it's. For me personally, not everything has to be a statement on the person. I think letting the music speak for itself, that's one of my favorite things.
I hope you continue with that.
Oh,
because
thank
it's
you.
Missing in our society today. Oh. Like everyone wants a high five and pound their chest. And I just love that you came, and she noticed that too.
You know,
that there was no grandiose, you know, introduction or anything like that. And you didn't need it. You just let your voice speak.
Wow. So I'm going to pocket that because since then there's been a couple of shows that there has been an entrance and it's always felt awkward for me personally. I've always felt like this feels just a little disconnected. And I think you're hitting the nail on the head. Like,
wow.
That feels good.
So this helped today. So
yeah, it really did. I'm getting some revelation here. This is good.
In one little way. We've got so much to talk about in so little time. The single.
Yes.
You say.
Looping back around.
Did you write it?
Yes.
You co-wrote it.
Yeah, co-wrote it. I finished that award show. I come into the studio the next day and I'm like, okay, I don't know where I'm at. I feel like I've lost my identity. The swamp Louisiana girl is being mulled over by a barrage of expectation. And I don't know how to anchor myself. And so that song was written with my producers kind of in a moment of me realizing my norm is changing.
Was that the first song you wrote for the album?
It was. And it was the first song that I had written post How Can It Be.
Oh.
So I hadn't written with those guys. I know.
So you're not one of these writers who's always writing? You put it in its place and go back to it when you...
Yeah,
wow.
Totally. I seasons are a thing. I don't feel like that's going to be, I'm not going to do that forever because I think I needed to section things off in order to get my feet wet and understand what each role expects and demands. And now that I have an understanding, okay, this is what the stage demands, this is what touring demands, this is what radio demands, this is what writing demands, this is what the studio demands. Now that I understand how much each one of them, the weight each role needs to take, I can understand how to intertwine them. Mm. Prior, I didn't know.
Your faith must really help you do that, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I feel like I learned so much about how I've been designed creatively. And without that expression, everything else kind of falls apart.
Mm.
It's just the fabric of how I was made, I guess. And so with that, I definitely want to write more on the road. But with You Say, when we were writing that, I knew it was a mark of identity. The lies that I had been believing about losing myself. How do I exist in this environment? Where is my security? Where is the depth? Where is the things that I can stronghold to, like hold on tight to? Not the sand, but the rock. Like, where is that? Mm. And as we started writing this song, it was like one lie fell. The next lie fell. And it was replaced with these truths of, you say I'm loved. You say I'm strong. When I feel weak, when I feel vulnerable, when I feel insecure, when I feel like really wayward and tossed by the wind.
Can you sing a line?
You're my source. Yeah. You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I'm weak. And you say I am held when I am falling short. And when I don't belong, oh, you say I am yours. And I believe, oh, I believe what you say of me. I believe.
So good.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing that. That's the first time ever on one of my podcasts I've asked an artist to sing. So thank you for being so gracious.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And doing that. What is your hope from people, your fans, and other people to... I'm always telling people to listen to your music. And,
thank you.
A lot of times in my running community, I have a lot of 20-something women friends that they just love your music. And I'm always happy when you're turning people on to new music. Mm. I could see it breaking down barriers.
Oh, I love that.
What is your hope for people to take away from this record and then from your concerts when you start touring?
I really want... We had this saying the whole time to extend the tent pegs, like really reach people that may not feel like this is home for them. And when writing the record, it was really kind of a biography of where I've been over these past few years. I was just telling someone that it's really dear to me to go and have these experiences and bring out an expression that maybe someone else is wishing they could get out of themselves, mm-hmm. that they don't necessarily have the language for, they don't have the understanding of, they don't know that it's in them. Maybe they're going through a heartache, maybe they're going through a difficult time, maybe they're walking through a road that's really painful. But what I told my producers in writing this record, I said, when I get off of the stage live, I wanna be sweating. Mm-hmm. And they laughed at me. They're like, Lauren. I was like, no, I'm serious. I want to be sweating because I want this to be such a record of joy, such a record of hope that people experience this childlikeness again. And in the years of making this record, in the time of making this record, I had to remember who I was as a child. And that solidified my identity this season. And because of that, I really want people to reflect on, oh, that was the innocence of my childhood. How do I see myself through those eyes again? How do I love myself like that again? Where's that joy? Where is that hope? And
you've kind of got a, when your dress, you got a little bit of a Stevie Nicks thing going on.
Oh, thanks. I like Stevie Nicks. I grew up on her.
The way you, I mean, just the way you look in the clothing and stuff. Oh, I love that. It's kind of timeless.
That's an
honor. On a bad day, I put on Dry Bones and listen to that song.
Wow.
I love that song, and your live takes on it are so great. And now it'll be Rolling Stones.
That's a Lazarus song.
There's so much atmosphere on this record, cinematography almost with the strings.
So
we're going to have to wrap up in a minute, but those strings, are you going to... we'll wait for the listener to just tune in, not tell you much about listening to it, but it's full of gorgeous strings.
Wow. I tell you what, that experience, I'd never worked with an orchestra on a record before. That about knocked my socks off. I just sat in the middle.
Did you love it?
Oh, I loved it. I could weep right now just thinking back on that experience. They were in a semicircle and I sat in the middle just sitting on the floor listening. Wow. And it was a sound that was so beautiful. Brett Mabry did all of the arrangements, which is Paul Mabry's twin brother.
Really?
Our producer's twin brother.
Wow.
And it was just really sweet. Their parents were in from Australia. They're Australian. And it just so happened that their parents were in town. And I feel like there was just this synergy, this moment in the room, the sentiment in the room. And all of the players, there were moments where they like kind of got teary-eyed and wept in making. And these are like players that do this every day. Like some of them are burnt out. Some of them are just jaded.
Are you going to maybe play with, are you going to do this with like the Nashville Symphony or something?
Oh my gosh, that would be a dream.
That would be so great.
I would love that. I actually brought the string players.
Well, since I came up with the idea,
I should get a little something. You should come over. Yeah, come listen.
But for somebody who grew up with like Sgt. Pepper and these great records with strings, you know, it's a thanks to like in this age of computer generated stuff. Mm-hmm. I just love that you did that. It's a great record. I just I know your publicist told me how much time, so I want to wrap it up here. But I just really wish you the best as you hit the road and start. When is the tour? Can you say it, or we need to wait?
I think it starts in September.
And who is touring with you?
We have a few special guests. This other band called Infinity Song. I met them underneath the bridge in Central Park.
Okay, so I've got to be honest. I was talking with David Macias from 30 Tigers at one of the award shows, and he mentioned you, and he said one of his artists from 30 Tigers was playing, and he showed me some of the venues you're going to be playing.
Oh.
And I was like, hey, those are theaters where rock acts go. She's playing some non-traditional theaters and venues. I think that's awesome.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Scott Mulvihill, he's also going to be out with us. And I really wanted to, like with the idea of extending the tent pegs, I wanted people that wouldn't ever step into a church to feel welcome.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
The album is called Look Up Child. The first single, You Say, is out there. And Lauren Daigle, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. This was such a pleasant time.
I'm hoping we get to talk down the road.
Yes.
But many blessings to you as you go out on the road.
Thank you, Jim.
Lauren, it's been a pleasure. This is Jim Asker from Billboard. Thank you, everybody.
Hey, folks. I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.